KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and happy Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Day, Blue Jays fans, as we welcome you in here to 1460 KXNO. It's Miller and Condon with you for the next couple of hours, a busy Friday. Glad you're with us. If you miss any portion, you can always check out the podcast at kxno.com and click on the podcast link. Coming up on the program today, well, I'll take a long look back at last night. A recap of round one of the NFL draft ahead a little bit that's particular times throughout the morning. Tom Cakert's going to join us first of all, 1025, HawkeyeReport.com. The latest, yet his take on Hawkinson 8 to Detroit, the Noah Fant 20 to Denver, and what the media and is going to be allowed to see tonight as the Hawks wrap up their spring practices tonight and what looks like a very nice night to do so. So Tom Cakert, 1025. The voice of the Cyclones, John Walter, is going to pick his brain on a number of issues as we should hear at least one Cyclone hear their name called tonight, and a couple other things want to toss around with John Walters, and he'll join us at about 10:45. In the 11 o'clock hour, Nick Athen, going to get him for a few minutes, not necessarily on the draft per se, but with the news that broke yesterday at 6 o'clock, Tyreek Hill, and the audio that surfaced, KCTV, holding it until 6 o'clock, an hour before the draft, which, like, I'm not minimizing what he did. What he did should get him kicked out of the league. But they had this audio for a while, just the timing of it all. Why wouldn't they have, you know, gone public when the district attorney on Thursday went out and faced the media and the public and said no charges? I didn't understand the timing of it, Trent.
I guess you get more run this way, you get more national coverage this way.
But isn't it sad that that's what it's come to, that it's all about, you know, to hell with the story and to hell with the human nature of it all. We need the ratings.
Right.
That's sad.
Reality, unfortunately.
It is. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. So we'll get a few minutes with Nick Athen. As Tyreek Hill has had to, no, he's played his last snap as a Kansas City Chief.
Yes.
Now, I don't think he's going to be run out of the league. I don't.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
That's,
oh, no, yeah. I mean, it's...
Ray Rice is the only one that was... You know, never had an opportunity to play football again after the video, the elevator video surfaced, and only because of the video surfaced prevented him from coming up. But we've got the audio.
And that was the timing issue. That was the way the video came out. The initial, what, two-game suspension that he got, then the video came out and the outcry of just how awful that looked. And in reality, Ray Rice, compared to a lot of these guys, I think certainly has been more remorseful.
He has, you're 100% right, Trent. He's used the years since his football career for the best.
Yes.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. And it's good to see, by the way.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill, this is, according to the NFL, his first strike. But I can't go there. I'm sorry.
Not in our world.
Not in our world. Oklahoma
no.
State, I mean, the same woman that, you know, who was pregnant at the time with their son, whose arm he broke, if the audio isn't doctored in any way, and I guess you have to say that, That was the incident, and he just kind of got off the, probation wasn't the right term, but he had, you know, 3-year period where he had to, you know, walk the straight and narrow, and it ended recently, and then this came out, and again, why would you sit on that audio? I other than ratings, which is just ridiculous. One of the things about this business that you just hate, but as you said, it's the world we live in. So a couple of minutes with Nick Athen. David Kaplan, we missed him on Wednesday. We didn't today. As we tell you every week, Cappy, we have to tape him first thing in the morning. Today we did so at 8:20 because Cappy's on the air from 9 to noon in Chicago, or 9 to 12:30, I think. So if we want Cappy, we get him as close to live as we possibly can. This morning at 8:20, we'll do a lot of Cubs. We'll do some Bears with Cappy, brought to us by Centurion Stone of Iowa. And before we leave, we're going to give away barbecue from our friends at Klaxons.
Boo!
Yeah, that was...
I'm not booing Klaxons. I'm just pulling out my best of the 200,000 people.
Trent, the numbers at that place. In the pouring rain!
That camera shot, I think ESPN had it. The camera
of the
shot
street?
Of going up the mobile camera, going all the way... Blocks and blocks and blocks. Unthinkable.
I'm with you. You know what stuck out on that video to me? And I've never been to Nashville. It looks like a really cool place.
It's an awesome place.
I've heard that from everybody. In fact, when Iowa State went to Memphis, we were holding out hope that Iowa would also be in Nashville, right?
Yes.
And Northwestern was there, and that's a game Thorson got hurt in.
Right.
That's right. In the Music City Bowl. Holding out hope that it was going to be Nashville, because there's apparently the two Tennessee cities, they're no comparison.
Oh, not at all.
I mean, Memphis is a dump. I hated every, not every minute. I had fun there, but the town itself is
dirty.
Beale Street, is that what it was? Yes. Beale Street, right?
Not nearly as big as I anticipated when I went there. So we did the double dip. Remember a few summers back, we went on family vacation.
Yes, yeah.
Nashville for 4 days and then 2 days
right.
in Memphis.
You saw the Ducks.
Yes, we saw the Ducks.
At the Peabody Hotel.
And after we got to Memphis and we walked the streets for a little bit, and we had Ella, who was real little at the time.
She had to have been.
She was just a year old. So she's in the stroller, and we're going up and down in the afternoon and have drinks and then get back to the hotel, you know, by 8 o'clock. But we were just wishing when we were in Memphis that we were back in Nashville.
Yeah.
I'm not a country music fan.
I mind it.
Older country, you know, stuff Dad and Grandpa listened to back in the day. I that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But current country doesn't do anything. I love the scene. Yeah. It was perfect for me. It was, you know, you get a little whiskey, have a beer, listen to some live music, guy up there playing a guitar, bounce bar to bar. I mean, it is wall-to-wall bars, and it's a clean city on top of it.
Well, and
something
Memphis
you can't
say
for Memphis.
No, you really can't. But, you know, back to my original point, and I'm with you because that's what I saw, too. I saw bar after bar. Mm-hmm. Would you call them honky-tonks?
Sure.
I guess.
Yep.
But then, you know what was closest to the stage is a Rock Bottom Brewery. Talk about out of place.
Exactly.
I mean, you got all these options. Why in the hell? And I used to go there. The food and the beer was okay.
Yeah.
But it just seems so out of place. Trent, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm 60. Maybe I would have in my 20s gone to an NFL draft when I was a Bronco maniac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would have or not. But standing outside in the rain, I mean, you're getting drenched.
To hear...
You're a name called, and a guy walked to a stage and posed with a jersey. You know, I don't know.
Doesn't exactly do it for me either.
I'm with you.
It's a sign of our age. It's a television production.
Yep. And it's a damn good one, too.
I'd still like to be there for the party. And that Music City Bowl, that's going to happen sometime, maybe this year, or the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're due to get there.
Yeah.
They have campaigned
to get there.
Well,
we know Florida's out.
Yeah, you can't go back,
you can't
to, the
go back to Florida. So scratch Florida off the list. Yeah, maybe.
If it's another 7-5, 8-4 type of year, gas up the car, make your way to Nashville.
It's drivable.
It is.
It's definitely drivable. Well, it was a fun production. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. I loved every minute of it. Looking forward to 6 o'clock tonight when it will resume. I don't know if I'll watch it in its entirety, but there's a couple of things. You know, maybe we should start with the locals.
Mm-hmm.
Bradberry to the Vikings is a home run.
You nailed that one.
Well, I did. You know, I get a lot of them wrong. Got that one right. I mean, I told you I don't want to take credit for Nick Bosa in our little contest, but you allowed me to, so I did. But Bradberry's a center. Pat Elflein now moves out of center to, and he was really good as a rookie. He had a good campaign in his rookie year.
Pro Football Focus, though, a year ago had him rated as the worst center in the league.
No, he had to move. Yeah.
Move him back to guard.
Yeah.
Strength position.
Yeah.
Now, got to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another piece. Another reason I think last year he rated so poorly is he wasn't playing healthy.
Right.
And they didn't have anywhere else to turn as bad as that offensive line was a year ago. You know, Bradberry, the thing about him, you look at him, an interior offensive lineman, it's hard to get excited. Really athletic.
Now, Quentin Nelson got Colts fans excited. Maybe not at the time.
His ability to get to the second level. When we talked to Tim Yatter earlier this week, one thing he mentioned, you know, they want to do a lot more of those zone plays, but they have to be more athletic along the offensive line to do that, running the inside-outside zone with Dalvin Cook. This is a guy that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only good, decent size in the middle, but his athletic ability, his feet, and getting to that second level and get to the linebackers and safeties, that what makes him a difference maker. So I really do like this pick. After you've been talking about him here quite a bit here throughout the week, I've been doing a little bit more and watched a little bit more on him. Really like that pick. And the Vikings, was a really talented roster a year ago that didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
A There's still a lot of talent on that roster.
There is, no doubt about that. So Riley Reiff will play left tackle, Elflein left guard. Bradbury gets the center spot. The kid they took last year, second round, I think, O'Neill, that plugged him in at right tackle, and he played well, So the Vikings got better yesterday. Chiefs didn't have a pick. Frank Clark was their pick, I guess if you want to call it that, as they bring him over from Seattle. His press conference is today. He's got some domestic baggage from his college days. Now, by all accounts, he's been a model citizen since then. But, man, that's going to be an awkward press conference today, Trent. It was going to come up, you would assume,
yep,
at the press conference. Now it's going to be, I would think, the major talker. You know, when you couple Kareem Hunt last year, Tyreek Hill, you bring in Frank Clark, it's going to be a talker. It's not going to be a pleasant, his introductory press conference to his new team.
Mm-hmm. It's not joking questions about,
no,
what are you looking forward to barbecue-wise?
Right. Yeah, great point.
Not going to be that type of press conference.
There'll be no yucks and giggles, and nor should there be, considering everything that's going on there. Tyreek Hill's out. He won't play in Kansas City, I don't think. No, he won't. He will play in the league again. I don't know when he'll play in the league again.
Maybe not next season.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Did you have a problem? I don't know much of it you were able to watch last night of the draft.
I was mowing the lawn, so I was listening to the audio coverage of it.
The Tennessee Titans took a kid from Mississippi State. Boy, Mississippi State had some guys go off the board in that draft, right?
You can see why Iowa had negative 15 yards rushing.
Yes,
in that
absolutely.
Game.
There's three first-rounders on the field against him. Jeffrey Simmons, I didn't realize this about him until ESPN showed it last night. And it was Trey Wingo that did the piece. Jeffrey Simmons comes off the board, and first thing out of their mouths were, okay, we've got to tell you a little bit about this kid. Jeffrey Simmons is an 18-year-old high school student. His sister and another woman got in a fight. He's a high school student.
Yep.
His sister and another woman in a fight. Simmons goes in to break up the fight and broke up the pile, but then became a part of it. He's actually raining punches on his sister, the woman that his sister was in the scuffle with. He's not, it probably three or four hard punches against a woman.
It's one of those delicate balances. He is a high schooler.
Yeah.
He is protecting his sister,
mm-hmm,
but he's doing it against another woman.
Right.
And these are the conversations.
If this is two brothers fighting, Trent, and you know what, you come to your brother's aid, we say that a million times, right?
This wouldn't be a story.
This wouldn't be a story.
But you know what? This still should be a story.
It absolutely is. And you know what? ESPN, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I don't know if this is part of their draft coverage.
Good call. Yeah.
You know, the Ray Rice thing maybe started to lead us down this road, and now it's going to be. I didn't have a problem with them showing it. It was cringeworthy.
Mm-hmm.
It was cringeworthy watching it. I was kind of surprised that ESPN broadcast it. But at the same time, I think you have to. It's part of Jeffrey Simmons' story. Now, again, in his time at Mississippi State, this guy did everything right, and he had more people vouching for his character, and I think sincerely vouching for his character, the stuff that they went on after they showed the video. So we'll see. It's part and parcel.
So this is a kid that also tore his ACL working out for the draft,
right, and probably won't play this year.
Yeah, if he does, it'll be certainly in the back half of the schedule. Coupled with, this is a guy that wouldn't have ended up in Mississippi State without that transgression that you mentioned. It's a guy that was a national recruit. This was a big time player. Mm-hmm. Alabamas and the LSUs of the world backed off because of this. He ends up at Mississippi State, and like you said, has been, for all accounts, a model citizen. It's your sister.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a difficult conversation. You say, well, you never hit a woman. Of course. Goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you're seeing your sister get beat up.
Yeah.
It's...
Pull her off.
Yeah.
Push one out of the
get
way.
Get away.
Yeah, just... I guess, well, he says the emotion got the best of him. Apparently it did. Anyways.
Packers?
Yeah, let's go there with the Packers. Look, Rashawn Gary, Trent, this was the number one overall high school recruit when he decided to play at Michigan.
New Jersey kid.
Yeah.
Uber recruit.
Yep.
And he went in right away.
Yep.
You saw, whoa.
But
there's
then,
a reason.
Trent.
The scouting department got this one right.
Yes. But then he never took the continued steps forward that you thought he would. He would be on the field, and there'd be plays. He's, oh my God. But there weren't enough of those oh my God moments for him, because the motor is the question with him. But you, if you saw the when he was taken off the board, the emotions that got him, he was with his family, tears just running down his face. So maybe
I thought it was just because he had to move to Wisconsin.
Yeah, just found out he's going to live in Green Bay. I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But if you know he decides to be the football player that obviously the Packers think he can, I think they got a good one there. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know much about the kid they moved to take up. I know he played at Maryland. I don't remember him. I don't remember watching a Maryland game, not that we did a ton last year, thinking, holy mackerel, that kid's going to be a pro.
That was the exact same takeaway that I had. When I watched Maryland, it wasn't a guy that jumped out.
Yeah.
Wasn't a guy that we talked about leading into Iowa, Maryland.
Uh-uh.
It wasn't look out for this.
Right.
Never had that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Keep your head on a swivel because Savage is going to knock your block off.
Right. Now, if he's able to plug and play and you got Amos on the other side, this is what they need to do at the safety position.
Yep.
They still need more help on that defense. But overall,
it's
a shoulder shrug, right? Just kind of.
It is. And if Gary lives up to the hype he did when he's coming out of high school and devotes himself and decides, you know what, I'm going to make a go of this thing instead. He took plays off in Michigan. That's what my biggest takeaway on him was. So I get why they did it. We'll see. Chiefs didn't have a pick. They got Frank Clark. Bears didn't have a pick. They got Khalil Mack.
You'll take it.
Indeed. The Hawkeyes, TJ Hawkinson, love where he went. I think he's in a great place in Detroit. Stafford is a guy that loves to throw to the tight end. This is a good pickup, I think. I think he's in a good place. I think he's going to have a long career, and good for TJ Hawkinson. And how about the town of Sheridan last night celebrating? Yes. That was really good theater, really was. Now, here's my question. They showed a bar in Iowa City. And I wish I could have remembered the bar in Iowa City who was watching the draft, right? A college bar by the looks of things.
Everybody, the airliner?
No.
Brothers? The Union?
Might have been Brothers.
Brothers, yeah. That's a big one. Large. A lot of TVs.
Well, I didn't see that. They
dance
just,
floor.
I didn't see the dance floor.
Might have
floor.
Saw me there 20 years ago.
Right. Well, and this is where I'm going. Because whatever bar that they were at was a bunch of college guys, you know, drinking cans of Busch Light.
Yes.
But then there was a guy at the bar my age.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Really?
The college bar.
That's okay in Iowa City. If I was to go to a... Where do kids hang out now? Court Avenue at night?
Yeah.
You don't think I'd stick out like a sore... What's this old man doing? Who does he think he is?
Well, during that time of the evening, that's okay.
Yeah, still,
if it was 11, it'd be a different conversation.
I wouldn't go anywhere near those places, Trent. I'm 60. That guy's my age.
Just wanted a cocktail. Watch the draft.
But isn't there a place where...
Maybe have a young co-ed brush up against him?
And then that's the problem I have with that sicko. I just thought, oh my God, dude, what are you going to be... People are watching this and somebody's going to recognize you in a college bar surrounded by college students. What are you thinking?
The worst part is if his wife notices that
good
one.
Good point.
I thought you had to work late.
Yeah, there he was, bellied up to the bar. Noah Fant to Denver, look, as a Bronco fan. As I said yesterday, I didn't think it was... Jake Butt is hurt, always hurt, and hasn't been able... Well, he redshirted, then he played, and then he got hurt again, and I really liked him when he came out of Mission. He was an Outback Bowl casualty, right? It was the Outback that they were in when he got hurt. Was it the Cap? Well, he was in Florida. It was a New Year's Day Bowl. I'm going to say Outback. He got hurt in that draft and fell to the fifth round. Did he go the pick before or after George Kittle? It was like back-to-back.
You're right, and I can't remember.
I think it was Butt Kittle. Or was it Kittle Butt?
I don't remember.
Well, I do remember this. If Denver would have taken the Hawkeye then, they wouldn't have taken the Hawkeye they took last night. I like the Noah Fant pick.
Yes.
I do.
Athletic.
Oh, my
speed.
God. At the NFL level, said it yesterday, we both love Hawkinson. I think Noah Fant's a better NFL tight end just because of his pure athleticism. And I think TJ Hawkinson's going to have a great career. I think Noah Fant's got a really big chance here.
Hawkinson strikes me of a guy, if you're a fantasy football player, that every year when you look at the tight end list, he's in the top eight.
Is he Greg Olsen?
Yeah, that area. Olsen injuries have kind of...
But he's the same kind of player?
Yes, yeah.
And I don't just say
he's
that
solid.
Because they're both white.
He's good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's ever elite. You know, the comparisons to the elite guys. Well, we talked about Jason Witten. I think that's a good one. In fantasy circles, Witten was never a guy that you take as one of the top three tight ends pretty much any year. But you do, you get a solid guy, a guy you plug in there. You don't have to think about the tight end position because he's healthy. He'll catch four or five balls a game. He'll catch a touchdown six, seven times, and there's your tight end position. You don't have to think about it the rest of the year outside of a bye week. That's what I look at Hockenson, where Noah Fant, that upside, he can be Jimmy Graham. He can be at the highest level. I could see that for him. It's what you want.
Yep.
And for a Broncos team that needs playmakers, somebody that can help stretch the field. After
they're young in the receiving position with the exception of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah. Got rid of...
DT is gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas. Houston last year.
And
right,
he's now a Patriot, but a Patriot with a torn Achilles.
And the Patriots get another wide receiver.
And they did in the very last pick in the draft.
Yeah, so I like both spots for them.
Yeah,
it's not something where you kind of... We did it as the Lions, so that's a little bit cringeworthy in itself. But overall, good spots for both those guys.
No doubt. Daniel Jones to the Giants is the one that everybody's scratching their head about. And you know what? Arizona, too. Waiting to, as long as they did, and now they're going to get dimes on the dollar for Josh Rosen. I mean, they wanted a first-round pick and didn't start pursuing with any degree of certainness or suddenness until a few minutes before the draft. I mean, they knew for weeks they were taking Kyler Murray, didn't they?
Why, they're the Arizona Cardinals.
I guess.
One of the worst-run organizations in NFL history.
Yeah.
Made a Super Bowl.
With Kurt Warner. Should have won the Super Bowl. Had the Super Bowl won.
But overall,
Nelson Antonio Holmes and Ben Roethlisberger did their magic.
It's a bad organization. And you're seeing that play out once again. No surprise, though.
When Jones came off the board, the reaction for Giants fans was just priceless. I don't understand the if they like him and thought he was going to be gone, and if it's a franchise quarterback and you're proven to be right, you're going to get the last laugh. But mark my words, it's going to be tough before you get to that point because they are facing a ton of arrows, a ton of criticism, arrows being shot their way. Like, what were you thinking? You could have got him at 17. Trent, there was a lot of players still left on the board, and they reached for Daniel Jones at that point.
Unless they were concerned about somebody jumping ahead, be it the Redskins, be it Miami. Those are two teams looking for quarterback. Outside of that, and you think Jones was that much better than Dwayne Haskins, than Drew Locke, than whoever he could get here in the second day, whatever it may be, didn't make sense. Trade down. Trade down. And even if you don't get the haul that you want to trade down, you can still get your guy. But to take that at six, it's an awful pick.
You know, I was surprised. Speaking of trading down, and I put my Bronco fan cap on here for just for a second because we got to get a break and get to Tom Caker and John Walters. When Denver moved from 10 to 20, I had the pick right. Will you give me half a point? I mean, I had Bush at 10.
You did? No, you don't get anything for that. No. I had him taking an Iowa tight end. Do I get any points for that?
Who got taken?
The Broncos. Adam Hockenson at 10.
All right. I guess neither one of us do.
Okay.
What was I going to say? I don't remember.
How about this? Talk about some golf.
Oh, good idea. That's what we were going to do. It's time to go for the green with KXNO and EKG Golf. Text the keyword hockey to 200-200 right now to win $1,000 cash. That's hockey to 200-200 standard data and message rate supply. I know what it was. Denver moves from 10 to 20. And for doing so, I would have assumed a first-round pick would have come with it next year. Maybe it wasn't a high enough pick. Maybe if you're top five.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a... They go from 10, they get Pittsburgh's 20, a second round this year and a third round next year. Is that enough? Dropping down 10 spots?
I thought a touch more.
I thought they would have got more, too. I was kind of surprised.
Maybe two twos out of it?
Yeah. Or their first next year?
Yeah.
Who knows? Devin Bush can be a good player. And sadly, because of the Shazier situation, that's what the Steelers were lacking. Tom Caker joins the program next. It's Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
No. KXNO in your pocket with iHeartRadio on your smartphone. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon in Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Hawkeyes momentarily with Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Cyclones in 15 minutes. The voice of Iowa State, John Walters, will join Trent and I. Let's get Tom Cakert in here. The media, along with family members of the football program, you have an opportunity to watch the final spring practice tonight. Tom Cakert joins us. Tom, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Tom?
Doing okay.
Nice that the football program threw the media a bone, actually allowing you guys to watch the entire practice. I'm impressed. I really am. It's the right move. I think every school should do it. They've got to feed the beast, and that's what you guys do, is you guys, you know, get the stuff to the people that can't wait to read it or hear about it or whatever. Good for Iowa for opening up the practice, Tom.
Yeah, you can't go dark for an entire spring. You just can't, and you can't just limit it to, like, you know, 15 minutes. We're going to let you in and take some pictures either. You got to allow us in to kind of see what's going on. And I understand that they couldn't make it available to fans. And Kirk has said that he wants to do that next year. Once, you know, the turf is back down on Kinnick, he's going to have an open practice. But I think it's important, and you're trying to sell the program,
yep,
too. So I think they realize that it's important for fans to, if they can't be there, to at least have people there who can give them some insight on the program.
Tom, what are a couple of the biggest things you're going to be looking for tonight? Kind of sight unseen, not knowing exactly what you're going to see, if you're going to see any scrimmage or anything like that. What are the areas that you're going to be concentrating the most on?
Yeah, I would say probably both of the lines. I would start there just because that's always so important to what Iowa football is in any given year, is how they're performing on the offensive and defensive line. And for the defensive line, I feel pretty comfortable with the starters, but the guys who are backing them up, I mean, that's nobody on that backup unit has taken a snap in a college football game. So they've got to show us something there. I'm looking forward to seeing that. The offensive line, I want to see what Tyler Linderbaum looks like as a center. We know the tackles, but what's the guard rotation? Is Mark Kellenberger kind of getting more of a look at guard right now? Could that be a potential starter? And then I want to look at the, you know, who's playing that newfangled cast position, the Imani Hooker position, and what are they doing with some of these rush defensive ends and that are linebackers that are standing up and kind of rushing. I want to get a look at some of that as well.
You know what I want you to do for me, Tom? Get a look at the backup quarterback battle. I'm not sure you'll
see.
There you go. Petrus Manziel. That's going to be interesting. Now, I don't for 1 minute think that you guys are going to find out what how it's going to work itself out, but at least maybe you'll get an opportunity to see both of them. And I think that's something that, look, it's a contact sport, right? Nate Stanley's been fortunate, but maybe this year is the year where you got to turn to your backup at some point.
You know, I just put something up today and it was kind of five things to watch, and that was one of them. And I know some people kind of look at me strange when I say I'm going to be watching those backup quarterbacks, and they're like, well, why? I mean, right. You know, Stanley's there, and I'm like, a year from now, we're going to be talking. That's going to be the A1 story for Iowa football, is who's going to be the quarterback. So, we want to get a look. We want to see what it looks like and see Petrus, see, you know, see what Manziel looks like now, see a little bit of Alex Padilla. Can he come on and maybe by next spring be a real factor there? Got to get a look at that and kind of assess where it stands right now. It could change, and it probably will, but it's, I think, an important battle because, as we know, as we see in college football, whoever doesn't win that battle is going to be leaving. That's just the nature
true.
Of quarterbacks in college football.
Tom, two last night in the NFL draft, Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson off the board. Hockenson to the Lions at 8 and the Broncos at 20 with Fant. Before we get to those two guys, though, who's the next Hawkeye that hears their name called?
Oh, I think Hooker tonight, probably in the third round. Somewhere in the middle part of the third round, I think he's going to come off the board. You know, it's interesting, and I saw a couple of guys note this in tweets, like national guys or, you know, NFL draft guys. George Kittle's season really helped those guys elevate their stock, I think. They knew they were good, but then when they see what Kittle did and what the program's able to produce, I think everybody kind of wants a piece of that pie now, and I think that helped Noah and TJ, and I think kind of the same thing's going to be said about Imani Hooker. We've seen what Desmond King, you know, everybody kind of let him drop to the fifth round, and he's turned out to be a really good player in the NFL, and I think they're going to probably view Imani Hooker in the same way.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm excited to see Nelson at the next level too, Tom. And as you well know, it's a deep draft at his position. But I think I'm convinced he's going to make a football team. And I'm convinced he's going to have a nice career in the NFL. Your thoughts on him at the next level?
Yeah, I think so. I probably third, fourth round, I would think he's going to pop off the board. But it's just such a, we saw it last night with all the defensive linemen, especially defensive ends, going off the board quickly. You know, teams only have 7 picks. They've got a lot of needs. Well, we got our defensive end. We don't need another one. So you just got to, he's got to stay patient and find the right fit, hopefully, and get an opportunity. He might, it might take him a couple years to really start to make an impact, but I think he's got a chance to be pretty good at the next level.
So of the remaining group, and the remaining group is all the seniors that were part of the team last year, as we're talking about 4 guys that still had eligibility before departing for the draft, who's the most likely to be drafted? Is it Ross Reynolds?
I would think so. He did really well in testing. They always need offensive linemen, so I would think he's probably got the best shot of any of the guys beyond that to get drafted. But they're going to have a nice, free agent group. Gervais will get, somebody will pick him up. Keegan Render, I would expect Racino's. Nick Easley. Mm-hmm. Can we just pencil Nick Easley into it as a free agent signing to the New England Patriots right now?
Yeah, certainly seems like it. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, Tom. I really wouldn't. Hey, I want to go back to spring ball with you just for a second. Davion Nixon, I'm wondering how far, where Iowa was with him a month ago, and as they get set to close tonight, and because the guy had to have, that football rust, air quote, if you want, on him, I wonder how far he's come in a short period of time.
Yeah, the indication I've gotten is that he's come pretty far, but he's still got, it's like a boxer who hasn't fought in a year and a half or something. It's just got the ring rust that's got to get taken off your body a little bit. But he's going to come along. I know they're really high on his potential. I mean, he looks the part, and they don't have a guy like him who's just a big, physical, tough guy in the middle. And they really need him to develop to be a really good player this year to help them in that rotation at defensive tackle, because you can't expect Lattimore and Reef to play 60 snaps a game.
Last thing for me, Tom, I'll let Ken finish up with you here. A little basketball. On the assistant coach front, any rumblings about anybody there? And then secondly, I know Iowa looking at the Hauser kids from Marquette, hoping to get them in for a visit. Both of them come in with 2 open scholarships, and also Harvey from Notre Dame. What you're hearing on the transfer front for basketball?
Yeah, on the assistant front, the only thing I know is that Courtney Eldridge, the video coordinator for Iowa basketball, who played for Fran at UNC Greensboro, is going to be out on the road recruiting. This is a big recruiting weekend. All the coaches can be at AAU events, so there's going to be, Adidas is down in Dallas, and Kansas City has Under Armour, and Atlanta is where the Nike folks are going to be. So they've got to spread themselves out, and Fran's got to get to a lot of things. So Sherm will be out, and Kirk Sparrow will be out, and Courtney's going to fill in that role. I think, Courtney might be the guy. I think a lot of people just thought maybe he's just going to elevate him. But what I've heard is Fran's kind of kicking the tires on a lot of different things right now, trying to get a feel for, who's available and who fits with him. Fran's hires have tended to be with the familiar, though, so that's one thing you have to keep in mind, that he's tended to hire people who he has a history with. That kind of limits his pool a little bit unless he steps outside that.
Tom,
as far as the transfers, the Hausers, I think it looks like maybe late May they're probably going to get a visit. DJ Harvey, we haven't heard a visit date yet. I've reached out to him, and he hasn't commented on that he's planning on visiting Iowa.
Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Look forward to reading all about what you guys are able to witness tonight, HawkeyeReport.com. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Let's get Jack in here before we go to break. Jack, thanks for being patient. Welcome to the program. How are you?
What's up, Kenny? How are you?
Good.
Lifelong Lion fan, Love the fact that we got another Hawk on the team. I think TJ Hawkinson's a little bit better blocker than a couple years ago. We drafted Ebron, who's now with the Colts.
Yep.
You know, I just kind of, similar maybe catching passes, and we didn't utilize Ebron like we should. I'm a little nervous. Love Hawk, but I know we got Darren Bevel now as our offensive coordinator. I just kind of wanted to get your take on it.
Well, I think that you used to set the magic words. I think Bevel's a huge upgrade, especially with what they want to do there. Look, they're trying to become the New England Patriots, right?
Yep.
And it worked, and Patricia's very familiar with it.
Yeah.
You're right. Exactly. I think Stafford is going to be giddy that he's got a tight end like that. They can run the football. You know what? This is a very competitive division. I think the Bears are probably the team to beat. But after that, you know, who's that next team? Is it the Vikings, the Packers, or even your Lions, I think, are in the conversation. I'm not sure this is your year, Jack, but maybe one of these years for those long-suffering Lions.
They're due.
Fans. Yes, indeed, they are. Jack, thanks for the call.
We are. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. As we continue on here, we'll take a break. We'll talk Cyclones with John Walters next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
1460 KXNO. Sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. This is Des Moines Let Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. With the stars above in
your eyes. All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Thank you to Tom Cakert. As promised, from the Hawks to the Clones, let's get John Walter, the voice of Iowa State, in here. He joins us. John, Trent, and Ken, how are you, John Walters?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fine. You know, Brent Bloom put out second time Bloom, he's tweeted something this week that I brought up on the show. He's a good follow, Brent Bloom is. He said last night that Kyler Murray's the best college player he's ever seen in person. Knowing we were going to have you on today, I wanted to ask you the most dynamic player that you've seen in all your years of calling college football. Who's the most dynamic? I mean, Patrick Holmes, but Iowa State held him in check. Who's the answer to that, John? Most dynamic college football player you've seen in person?
You know, I think it'd be pretty hard to top Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He was just a special college player with as much moxie and confidence as any, and that just is what made him, you know, but had the talent too. But that's what I would probably put at the top of the list of just a guy that absolutely was the dominant player on the field every time he played. And there's been others, certainly, but I think I'd put him number one.
What about Barry Sanders? You weren't calling Iowa State games, back in the late 80s.
No,
but I saw him. Yeah, and I yes, absolutely. Yeah, there is. I just changed my choice.
That's all it took.
Barry Sanders was the best college player I've ever seen in person, no question about it. Mm. And, he was outstanding, and what's amazing is what would have happened if he'd played 4 years. Mm-hmm. The numbers that he would have put up would have been just astronomical.
If he didn't have Thurman Thomas in front of him the first 2 years.
Turn, right?
Yeah,
no doubt. But yeah, you're right. That was one that caught your eye. You just couldn't take your eyes off him when you were watching him play. No doubt.
Good stuff. Well, David Montgomery certainly has had that recently with Iowa State. He's been unbelievable to watch. The broken tackles, Hakeem Butler. Two Cyclones, John, I have to think, are both going to hear their names called tonight. I thought there was a chance Butler with New England, seemingly looking at receiver, may sneak into that first round. He's still on the board. Both of them come off the board tonight, don't you think?
I sure hope so. I think it's a real good possibility. I think Hakeem, I'd be really surprised if he got out of tonight. And even with David, I'd be surprised as well. But I think it's likely that Hakeem goes earlier. But I think somebody's going to get two really good football players with those two guys. And two guys that have, you know, dealt with adversity in their lives and come out of it, shining examples of how you deal with adversity. I mean, those two guys are as good off the field as they are on the field, and somebody's going to get two really quality players, but two quality people too, and that's exciting. I mean, and I think, you know, in the NFL, when, you know, sometimes you roll the dice on guys that maybe don't have the positives in that category, if you can check that box and you're a good player, I think it really helps your chances of moving up, because somebody sees you as a long-term fix, not something that could flame out in a year or two. I mean, I think both those guys could be on a roster for 10 years and have very productive NFL careers.
You know, I go back to last year, the year before, Lazard's senior season, and there was some point, I think it was during the spring, and during August camp, and you could correct me if I'm wrong here, timing-wise, but when Matt Campbell made the assertion that the best receiver in the wide receiver room is potentially going to be Hakeem Butler, that kind of got people's attention because, you know, Lazard, sure, he's local and we knew his story and we watched him play high school football. But I don't think at the time he said that anyone that thought Butler could be better than Alan Lazard. Do you remember that, John?
Well, I do. And I think what he saw and then what we saw last season was that Hakeem can just do some things that very few people can on a football field. And so, you know, it just puts him in a different category. It's nothing against Alan Lazard, but Hakeem Butler can just do some things that are dynamic that very few players can do. And so, you know, and then he's also got some flaws. He's not perfect, but I think he's a guy that is very intriguing. When you start looking at the wide receivers that could come off the board tonight, I think he might be the most intriguing guy because, you know, if you're an NFL team and you're looking at him and you're thinking he's a deep threat, he could be an underneath threat. He could, you know, he can run like crazy after the catch. He's a willing blocker, very capable there. He does a lot of things really well. It's just making the sure catches all the time that has been his biggest flaw. But, you know, I think with a lot of work, he can get there on that. I've seen guys improve in that area. So I'll be surprised if he doesn't come off the board pretty early tonight.
Brian Peavy, another guy that is, at least to many people, anticipated to be drafted sometime over the weekend. Had a shoulder injury, played through it a season ago. Not big by any means, but as small as he is, very active in run support. Overall, how surprised would you be if Brian Peavy doesn't hear his name called this weekend?
You know, I've seen, you know, the mock drafts that don't have him listed, so I guess I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't get picked. I think he'll be one of the guys to get a quick call as a free agent if that's the case. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him drafted either. I mean, again, a really character guy. I mean, look what he did his senior year. Tore his pec completely in fall camp and played through it the entire season, played every game. I mean, how many guys do that? He didn't want his college experience to be over that day, and he found a way to play through that. And, you know, I think it says a lot about the kind of person he is and the kind of teammate he would be. And on top of that, he's been an awfully good cover guy. I mean, you see Pro Football Focus ranking him as one of the top cover guys in this draft, and we've seen it for 4 years. So, yes, undersized, and he's fought that battle his whole life, has had to prove himself every stage. But, you know, I think it's a good flyer for a team in the sixth or seventh round if he's still sitting there. And maybe our Bears, Trent, will be the team to, to roll the dice on, because you can never have enough corners, right? I mean, you can never have enough corners.
Well, so, to be honest, I want David Montgomery in a Bears uniform.
I think there's a chance at that too.
And I'd love to see. I was thinking that thought when you guys were getting ready to call. I was, you know, I saw the Chicago Tribune article this morning about, you know, who the Bears might get and what their needs are, and certainly running back is at the top of that list. I think more of like the every down back is the kind of guy they need, and man, David would fill that void. I don't know if they trade up to get him, but if he's still sitting there, you know, when they pick in the third round, holy smokes, I sure hope they grab him.
Mm-hmm. What separated him, John? Was it his off the field stuff, his leadership qualities? I mean, we heard very quickly, Coach Campbell would often bring up the fact that, you know, first thing in the morning or last thing at night or on a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, there he is. Is that what separated? Is that what David Montgomery helped make into the football player that he's become?
Well, I think when you look at players that are real success stories, it usually starts with that, a tremendous work ethic, and there's no doubt that David had that. And as just an absolute laser focus on becoming the best player that he can possibly be. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody more focused on becoming the best player and best person that they can possibly be than David Montgomery. So, you know, you throw in that with the natural talent that he does have, tremendous vision, ability to cut. Now, he's not going to run away from a lot of guys, but in the NFL, how many 70-yard runs do you see? Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you want a guy that can move the chains and break some tackles and be a very effective every down back, I think he has that potential to do that in the league. We'll see. It's tough. It's not as easy as breaking tackles in college. We all know that. But, man, he's shown a lot of ability in those areas, certainly as a college player.
John, it's springtime. It's warming up outside. They'll cool down here the last day or two. Still, golf clubs out. You getting ready for going out and about and talking to all the people across? What's the spring tour looking like this year?
Yeah, we're starting mid-May. We're going to go back-to-back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. Yeah, we'll hit the western half of the state. I think that, 13th, 14th, 15th, something like that. And then the following week, we'll hit the eastern half of the state. And I think we'll have pretty great crowds this year. There's a lot of great things going on with Iowa State Athletics. So I hope a lot of people come out and celebrate that with us. And it should be a fun time. We always enjoy that tailgate tour. It's a great way to do it. I mean, you condense everything into 6 days. You see it interact with a ton of fans. And it just makes sense to do it the way Iowa State does it.
Indeed. John Walters, voice of Iowa State. John, thank you for coming on, giving us a few minutes. We will talk to you in the weeks to come. Thank you, John.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Good to talk to you. John Walters, voice of Iowa State. They do it the right way, Trent. Mm-hmm. They do. They cover the entire state, and they're very well received. All right, we'll take a timeout. David Kaplan's going to join us. We're going to get Nick Athan in here for a few minutes on Tyreek Hill. Cappy joins us. We taped him, 8:20 this morning, so about 3 hours ago or thereabouts. We'll talk to David Kaplan. We're going to give away some barbecue. We're here until noon. We're glad you're with us. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.